The fuel excise tax has been put off until next year. It was set to increase in staggered amounts until it hit 22 cents in 2028. Instead, Cabinet agreed to spread it out with 5 cent hikes every 6 months. The government says it'll cost around $1.5 billion. It'll dip into a $450 million rainy day fund to help pay for it. Eric Crampton is the chief economist for the New Zealand Initiative. Dr. Crampton, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Eric, Chris Luxon says this will give people more time to recover from the cost of living crisis. So what is this, a win for our pockets?
Well, not particularly. It depends what you think the government otherwise would have done with the $1.5 billion. So a fuel excise rebate like this, it goes to people who use the roads a lot, regardless of their income. The government could equivalently have chosen to boost benefits or to reduce taxes or other things that would improve quality of life for people. And if it's run through the tax system, it's at least then reflecting some equity principles. This one is just whoever happens to use the roads more.
Is this a case of kicking the can down the road, Eric? Again.
Well, in a sense, at least National has promised to top up the National Land Transport Fund to make up the difference. So if you are not collecting charges from road users to cover the costs of road maintenance, then the money has to, either you're deferring maintenance and creating a much larger problem to come, or you're having to pull the money from elsewhere. At least they're pulling the money from elsewhere. Unfortunately, a lot of that will fall on people who aren't road users, and yeah, it's a bit of a worry.
Okay. Zoe, George, what's your take on this issue?
Yeah, I find this really, really fascinating. You know, would you rather have one 12-cent increase or 4 5-cent increases every 6 months? I don't know, Eric. The numbers don't seem to add up here.
Well, they don't quite add up, and that's why the government's having to throw another $1.5 billion into the National Land Transport Fund. I think the bigger problem is that we have turned what was supposed to just be a charge set by technocrats reflecting what it costs to run the roading network into a political decision. And, well, vote for us because we're going to make sure that the roads are cheap. Like, that's not a way to run a roading network.
Tim.
Eric, this, and this is a sort of centrist party issue, is this National trying to be a bit like Labour?
They had a quick temporary response, or what is meant to have been a temporary response, to the crisis in the Gulf. Mm. And maybe you could make a case for it that there would have been intolerable political pressure on fuel prices that would come through other mechanisms. Unfortunately, the immediate response to that shortage coming from the Gulf was that we all should have been conserving fuel use and using less of it while stockpiles were being replenished and we're getting the new tanks that are going to get filled up. Cutting prices encourages people to use a little bit more rather than holding back.
So, and Zoe was onto this, like the numbers don't add up. The money's coming from a rainy day fund. What happens if it rains, Eric?
Well, we'll have to borrow more, right? And fortunately, we still have some headroom for that, but there's a lot less of it there than there ought to be, and we should be replenishing that fund rather than drawing it down.
Yeah. Looking at what other parties say, Labour announced Thursday that if his party got into power, it would not increase the taxes for the next 3 years. New Zealand First said we are not increasing fuel taxes on Monday, as the Labour Party are saying. He said that future decisions will be for a future government to decide. ACT said he told the Post he did not want to stop the fuel tax increases. Now they've got a Green Party saying that not increasing the fuel excise tax would make the roads worse, and Te Pāti and Māori would not be increasing. And what an opportunity to say, finally, leader Kule Wong said freezing fuel taxes does not make the cost of transport infrastructure disappear. Zoe, George.
Well, see, this is it. There are two sides to this as well. So should motorists pay according to how much they use the roads, or should taxpayers collectively fund more of the transport system? But the flip side then is fuel tax unfair on people in rural communities and outer suburbs who simply don't have access to anything other than driving? So they're my two thoughts and my 5 cents on that.
Good on you, Eric.
Well, everyone faces different costs for all kinds of things. If you're in a spot where it's really expensive to service the road and you're having to bear the cost of that, well, councils in those spots often face decisions around whether do we maintain a really good seal on this road or do we let it revert to gravel or shingle because it's too expensive to maintain that tight seal. We can always make those kinds of decisions in places where it's more expensive to provide the services. Pretending that those differences don't exist is a little bit risky. If there is a big cost of living case to subsidize life in more rural areas or remote places over and above the, well, kind of lower cost of housing often in those places as well, you could consider just transfers to places where government wants to support more people living than would otherwise be the case.
If you've thought on this, get in touch. Someone says the terrible choice is just up the cost, and people can find alternatives if they need to. It's dumb, is this person's view. I mean, this roading infrastructure, Tim, has been one of the big stories of the last few years, hasn't it? The continual upkeep, whether it be your potholes and then new routes, new roads, yep. Roads of national significance. It's been a huge issue for our country.
It's a huge issue because infrastructure is an economic issue. If the infrastructure is functioning well, then the economy thrives. So I guess my question is, it's not fair to people who don't use the roads to pay for this. However, the counter argument could be, well, a functional economy based on a good infrastructure would then mean that everyone benefits.
Eric?
Infrastructure is good. The government is currently already spending far more on the roads than it collects in charges from road users, even before this delay in the road user charges and fuel excise duty going up to reflect increased maintenance costs. So at the margin, the government is spending too much on this relative to a user charge-based system. This is making that problem worse, and it's hardly good for the sustainability of the system over the longer term for it to have to keep begging for funds in a budget process with other worthy goals that the government might be trying to achieve, rather than just having its own dedicated funding line that's proportionate to people's use of the roads, basically tied to the places where people are using it. Make sure that the roads are delivered to the quality that's necessary in the places where people want to drive. User funding is a more stable way of achieving that than just ongoing top-ups.
I'm hearing tolls, Eric, right?
In some places, yeah. Mm.
Tolls, Zoe.
Well, and I mean, if this is not coming out of the roads, you know, purse per se, then what purse is this coming out of to fund? Where else are we going to make cuts to ensure that, you know, this infrastructure is up to standard?
Well, yeah, it's coming out of that rainy day fund, and we don't know what else that would have been used for. So,
$450 million of it. Eric, Dr. Crampton, thank you very much for your time on the panel tonight. That's Eric Crampton. He's the chief economist for the New Zealand Initiative. Someone says no one is paying for it. That's the problem. Deficit, constant deficits. So in terms of Wellington, Zoe George, are you, just on a personal level, are you satisfied with the state of the roads that you ride on?
Wellington roads are very narrow, and it is quite a challenge to drive. So I either walk or catch public transport, and we're very lucky that we've got a whole bunch of public transport options here in Wellington. But it's not necessarily about those of us who live in the cities who can have those options. For me, it's those who live rurally or in the outer suburbs who don't have access to public transport to get to where they need to go. So this is going to impact them a lot more than it's going to impact me, although Transmission Gully is rather spectacular, I do have to say.
Yes, indeed. In terms of where we are, Tāmaki Makaurau here, Auckland, Tim Wilson, the issue really is congestion. It's just extraordinary.
It is congestion, and that's because everyone uses the road. And so, the comparison, say, for Auckland's a bit like Los Angeles. It's not dense, it's sprawling. And, Zoe, you talk about those people who are in far out areas. You go out to the eastern suburbs, you see the townhouses, and there are three cars parked in front of each townhouse, and those people have to go off and drive to get their living. So we need to make sure that these roads are up to scratch, because people use them. They don't typically take the bus.
Good on you. Tim Wilson, Zoe George tonight. You're on the panel on Apple and Spotify. Listen and follow. My name's Wallace Chapman. Loving your feedback tonight. Someone says subsidising of road trucking is substantial by taxpayers, and light vehicle fuel excise and road user charges on light vehicles. The increase in RUC by weight is close to linear, but the cost of build and maintenance of roading suitable for heavy transport is exponential. Heavy trucking needs to pay more.